Broadcast.
This is Nate.
This is Sean.
And this is Juan Ye.
We're Boys to Men.
And you're listening to Night Vibe with Pinnacle and Ellie.
Everything they do is hot, man.
All right, everyone, I promise you that we have an exclusive interview going on right now with DJ Angelo. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, I don't know if I should give you this big, huge introduction and say, you know, scratch DJ. But then if you're not a scratch DJ, you might scratch my face. Or if I say party rock and then you say, I don't play LMFAO party rock. I don't know how to introduce you. So I think it'd be best if you introduce yourself to our listeners.
Absolutely. Yep. My name is DJ Angelo. I'm from the UK and I am a party rocking turntablist, scratch champion, producer, DJ tutor. I'm pretty much a jack of all trades. Been DJing a long time, about 15 years, and I'm on tour in Korea right now.
Now, in a nutshell, is that what you tell the ladies?
It depends how pretty they are.
Okay. All right. Now, you said you are a party rock DJ. What exactly does that mean?
Okay.
Does that mean that you play LMFAO party rock?
I try and avoid playing any LMFAO. I'm not hating on other DJs, but I try and keep it real in terms of what a DJ is supposed to be, which is an entertainer. And I'm pretty open format when it comes to what I play. I select music that I consider is really good party music, and I try and find some gems and try and stay off the mainstream kind of scene as much as I can. I dig for tunes the old-fashioned way. I try and find really good party tracks from a whole range of genres and serve it up into a really cool set.
So you said 15 years behind the decks.
Oh, yeah.
What was going on before that? Before you were DJ Angelo.
Before I became DJ Angelo. I was a shy kid, I guess. I was a shy kid at school, a music fan, and I just wanted to find a way to become closer to music, you know, have a closer relationship with it, instead of just some kid who was listening to Michael Jackson on his Walkman back in the late 80s. So, I saw DJing as a way to come out of my shell and gain confidence and still be able to perform in music and in the music scene without having to really be this confident person and speak a lot. So DJing just made sense to me. You know, I love technology, I love music, and it gave me a way to still show off and be the man without having to really be a confident person to start with.
When did you know that you were confident enough that you could actually say, hey, I want to put DJ before my name?
Yeah, it was, I would say it was 2003, I guess, is when I started to believe in myself. A friend of mine was going to London to a show there, and they have a national DJ competition. And he said, hey, man, why don't you come down? It's tomorrow, and you should enter the competition. So I thought, okay, I've got one night to practice, but why not? Yeah, let's go. So I put a set together, went down, and I ended up winning the competition. And it was a UK national competition. And that's when I realized...
Maybe you say that like it's just nonchalant. Like, I went to this competition, and I won the whole thing. Yeah, but, it's no big thing.
I beat the whole UK. You know, nothing, no biggie. But, yeah, I guess I didn't realize... You know, I was that well. I'm not saying I'm that good, but I didn't realize I could, you know, beat other DJs, become a UK champion, and I guess that was the day I realized maybe I could do this. You know, maybe I'm okay at this. Maybe I should give this a try. And it kind of stayed that way. It was always a hobby, but you know, I had dreams of doing it professionally, and it wasn't until 2005 that I quit the day job and went for it, and you know, so far so good.
What was the day job?
The day job was boring. It was internet banking, of all things.
Nothing, I guess you're still hitting
nothing
buttons.
Related to music. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Internet banking.
Yeah. So. But I have that job to thank for, you know, for pushing me out and going for what I really want in life. So,
wait a second. You're saying that you are thinking your boring job. Thank you for being so boring, because it honestly made you actually pursue your dreams.
That's right. I don't think I would have taken the leap of faith if things hadn't been so bad. So sometimes things have to get bad to get better.
So I should thank the fast food place I used to work at making tacos for where
absolutely,
I am today?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you,
yes,
fast food
character
taco
building.
Place.
Yeah.
All right, now, I definitely want all of our listeners to know that you are that dope. So let's go ahead and go into some music. We got a track by you that I want to play right now called Rock That Dutch.
Cool.
Can you tell us a little bit about that track?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of mashups. I love the finding samples and putting two or more elements together that didn't really belong together in the first place and just making it work. And I guess making mashups is a great stepping stone into getting into production after you've learned how to DJ. So it's something I still enjoy doing today, and other DJs really like playing mashups too. So yeah, it's fun.
All right, so check it out. We're going to go ahead and listen to Rock That Dutch by DJ Angelo. When we come back, he's going to tell us about the strangest mashup he's ever done. It's going to be amazing. We'll be right back on Night 5. Don't stop, get it till your clothes get wet.
Pop that, make that money. Just keep it going like the Energizer Bunny. Shake that, move it all around. Spank that, yank that Dutch back now. Freak him, freak her, whatever your choice. Didn't come to judge, I came to get your voice.
All right, we are back in the mix with DJ Angelo.
Yo, what's up?
Did you like that? Was it official? DJ Angelo.
I'm not feeling it, man. I'm sorry, man.
So you're not going to hire me to go on tour with you?
I think I'll keep looking for a hype man, if that's okay with you.
What if I practice?
Well, maybe, yeah, give me a call in maybe 10 years' time.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I do want to ask you the last question, which the last question that I asked before the break, which was, what is the craziest mashup that you've ever done?
Okay, well, I recently did a mashup. I'm a massive Biggie fan. Biggie is my boy, you know, he's my favorite rapper of all time.
Big Papa.
And, you know, I think hip-hop would be a different place if he was still around. So I really wanted to bring Biggie back into, you know, the current sound of hip-hop. So I found a really dope beat from some guys in France called the Stereo Heroes, which is it's kind of a hip-hop beat with a hint of filthy dubstep bass. I don't know what you call it, dub hop or something.
Dirty dub,
yeah, hip step, something like that. I've made Biggie's track Big Papa sound more current, and I've weaved in some Snoop Dogg a cappella in between, and I've basically tried to make them, you know, be on a track together. It never happened in real life, so I've kind of weave them into the same track so that they appear to be having a duet together.
Yo, what's the name of that track?
Papa Like It's Hot.
Yo, we're going to play that tonight. We have to play it tonight.
Do it.
All right, before we play that track, we definitely want to get back into asking you some questions. There is a big debate over what is a DJ. You know, I just mentioned even last week when I was talking to Neil Armstrong, and I was also talking to Q-Bert, you know, I asked them about the fact that Paris Hilton will be considered a DJ. She's going to be doing her first little set.
Yes, I heard about that. Yeah.
How do you define the term DJ?
Well, the term DJ is becoming pretty loose these days. And I don't know if that's such a good thing. I mean, DJing for me has always been about the music and entertaining people. I think a DJ is there to serve the crowd first and foremost. You know, your job is to entertain your audience, and I think over the years that has not always been the case. You know, people are starting DJing, becoming DJs for possibly different reasons, not always good reasons, but for me it's you know, it's always you've got to love music and you've got to want to play music and entertain people with music. You know, share your enjoyment of music with others. I think that is number one. That's what a DJ should be.
All right. Now, as far as the type of DJ you are, you've already told us that, you know, you're more in the element of what would be considered party rock. Is that always where you've been as a DJ?
I'm actually mainly known as a turntablist. I have a really popular series of scratching tutorials on YouTube. I've generated quite a few followers. I think I'm up to about 21,000 subscribers on YouTube, about 3 million views now. So I basically wanted to share my art and teach teach it the way I wanted to. And YouTube is a great platform for that, and they've done really well. I've got, you know, I've built an audience all over the world, and people are learning from me, and it's great to be able to, you know, give back to the industry and keep promoting and keep building the community of DJs, which I'm really proud to have done. So yeah, most people know me as a turntablist and a scratch DJ, but I'm a DJ. I'm an all round DJ. I was, you know, playing parties and mixing way before I was scratching. But for me, scratching, turntablism, it's all part of the same art form. I'm a DJ that wanted to master everything. So I'm an all rounder. I can play parties. I can scratch. You know, I teach. I work with other artists. You know, I do the whole thing. I love DJing. I love the whole art form.
What's your favorite part?
I don't think there's anything better than just making a party go crazy. I think that's why I do what I do, and the high that I get from rocking a place and having people cheering and, you know, raising the energy levels of a room from nothing to absolute, you know, ecstasy. It's an amazing feeling.
You know what? You're gonna have to tell us one of these stories of like how crazy you've seen people go over your music. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like thousands of people or millions of people. It could be, you know, 50 people. So you're gonna have to dig one of these stories up. Do you think if we play a song and we come back, you could do that for
us? Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's play the song that we just got done talking about, which was "Pop It Like It's Hot." That was the mix up, or the mashup rather, where you put together Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G. and Snoop Dogg.
That's right.
For Shizzle?
For Shizzle.
All right, let's go ahead and do that.
Mansion and Benz's, giving ends to my friends, and it feels stupendous. Tremendous cream, both a dollar and a dream. Still tote gas strapped with infrared beams.
All right, as my man Pinnacle the Hustle would say, that joint goes hard, man. Yo, how did you even think of the concept of putting those two things together?
I don't know. You know, I'm a big fan of both Biggie and Snoop, and I think, you know, they would have done a track together eventually if Biggie was still around. And I just thought, why not? Why not try?
Yo, East meets West.
Yeah.
Speaking of East meets West, I want to ask you a question about how people do things. It's not just what you do; it's how you do it. And there has been a debate going on for ages about whether people are using vinyl or CDJs or now people are using even iPhones DJ. Do you respect all forms? Do you have any sort of controversy, or is it just a matter of, whatever people want to choose?
It's a hot topic for sure. And I get asked this all the time. Me personally, I'm a turntable DJ. I always will be. It's what I enjoy. You know, the turntable is my instrument. It's what I'm most comfortable with. I find that playing with analog devices gives me the opportunity to play with more feeling, and that's important for me, especially as I scratch and do tricks. And you know, it's the analog feel really makes a difference in the way that I perform. And I wouldn't get that same feeling by just pushing buttons. But, you know, having said that, I'm from the generation that grew up using vinyl and turntables. So I'm not hating on the new DJs who will never know vinyl or never know turntables. You know, it's a generation thing. But I think number one, you know, you just have to be a good DJ. You have to be good at entertaining people. And it really shouldn't matter what you use. I honestly believe the people who have this argument and who keep bringing it up and won't let it, you know, rest, aren't the real DJs. I think the real DJs haven't got time to have this argument. You know, I really do feel that it's never ending.
I'm sorry, say that one more time and say it loudly.
I'm not aiming this at you.
You said the real DJs don't have time to discuss, you know, vinyl versus CDJs, because they're actually putting in work.
Yeah, we're too busy to even go there. You know, that's kind of how I feel. I think, you know, live and let live. Just everybody do your thing. Don't. I think if DJs spent less time watching each other and just watching what they're doing, working on their own thing, I think, you know, the scene, the industry would be a friendlier place.
So how much time do you invest at this point in your career? You've been, you know, 15 years in the game. You definitely got international recognition, you know, being on, you know, MTV, BBC, all over the place, ad sponsors, the whole deal. Are you still investing the same amount of time?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the older you get and the busier you get, it's harder to get in the studio and practice. But I definitely stay on my skills. I stay sharp, and I get withdrawal symptoms if I haven't touched the turntables in a while. And I've actually been in Busan for the week with a pretty clear schedule. So I've spent the week just practicing, you know, at my friend's cafe down in Busan. So it's been great. It's just been a nice chance to get back on the decks and just go hard on the scratching.
I know I must be living vicariously through you, because you said, you know, I spent the weekend in Busan with a pretty clear schedule. And I was thinking you were going to say something different. Anyway, let me go ahead and get my mind right. I did say I was going to ask you the question of the craziest sort of reaction or response that you've heard at a show, or the craziest show. Mm. Now, the story you have to top from the last DJ is, he said he was the first DJ to play at the White House for President Obama's inauguration. Top that.
Wow.
I'm mostly joking. You don't have to top it. I just want to know what's interesting.
I can't.
Please don't strike
that one.
Me.
No,
please don't.
I really can't. I've done parties of all sizes. I've done, you know, dingy underground kind of basement parties up to festivals. And I think one of the most memorable ones I did was when I played in Marrakesh. It was my first international gig. And it was also the biggest crowd I've ever played to. I think there was in the region of 70,000 people.
70,000 people?
Yeah.
Good gracious.
Yeah. But, you know, surprisingly, I get less nervous with the bigger shows. It's the small ones when there's guys, you know, you can actually feel their breath on your face, watching your every move. Because I do attract a lot of guys who come to watch what I do, watch my skills in action. You know, they've seen what I do on YouTube, and they want to see it live. So those are the gigs that I get more nervous about.
Do you ever feel like you're competing against yourself because you have the image of what people think that you are?
Absolutely.
And then you have to come and be that in person.
Absolutely.
And people are like, oh, I've seen your stuff online. They're like, so let's see your show.
Yeah.
Go ahead, go.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you've got to be as good as people think you are. And, you know, I don't compete anymore. I've done my fair share of DJ battles, but now I compete with myself. I try and outdo myself every day, every week.
Yeah. Now, do you do any mouth scratching?
No, but I do beatbox a little bit.
You do beatbox a little bit?
Yeah.
Now, you know that for our listening audience, it would be amazing. Or in Korean, amazing.
If amazing. You would,
yeah, with the G, with G sound.
Bust a little.
A J sound, I'm sorry. Would it be possible for you to do something exclusive for us?
I'm a bit of a one-trick pony when it comes to this, but but here we go.
Well, trick on.
You ready?
All right, that was DJ Angelo doing his thing, man.
Did I really just do that?
You did, man.
Oh,
you
God.
Did it. Yo, that
oh,
was
God.
Crazy.
Oh, God.
Yo, all the listeners are definitely making a lot of responses. I'm looking at it right now on the message board. I got to ask you just a few quick questions before I let you go. Is that cool?
Absolutely.
I'm not going to ask you to do anything else performing.
No more beatboxing, please. Please.
All right, so you're not going to do that dance routine we talked about?
Oh, man.
The ballet?
Oh, come on.
No? Okay. All right, let me ask you a couple of quick questions. The first question I want to ask you is about how you're teaching other people how to, you know, it's a song called Teach Me How to Dougie. You know what I'm talking about?
I know the one.
Do you play it?
Occasionally.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the song called Teach Me How to Dougie. You have a way that you're teaching people how to DJ. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. I when I left my day job, before the gigs picked up, I spent a long time teaching and doing a lot of community projects, you know, traveling the country, teaching a lot of school dropouts and juvenile young offenders, that kind of thing. Government funded projects, and I taught them DJ skills, and I developed a good ability of teaching, and I actually realized I can teach DJing. It's the subject I know so much about. It's something I've been doing for years. I'm 100% self-taught. So there came a time when I discovered YouTube, and I discovered some tutorials on there, and I found that a lot of the guys who were teaching on there were teaching the art form badly, in my opinion, and it was frustrating for me to see this art form that I really loved being taught in a way that wasn't easy for beginners to understand. And, you know, I think for a scene and for a community to grow and be strong, you know, we've got to teach properly and pass on the skills and the art to the next generation. So I made the decision to make some tutorials of my own, and I try to make them the best that I could possibly be in terms of, you know, information and, you know, just being thorough with the basics. And I think that was about three and a half years ago I did my first one. And as I said, I've built a really good following. I've done about 16 of them now. I've taught DJs all over the world, and I'm told they're the best scratch tutorials on YouTube. And I'm told that people have forged careers out of, you know, learning from me, which is an amazing thing to hear.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the same thing. Do I need turntables to do it though, or can I just become a good DJ without the equipment? I just learned lessons.
I think you can learn a lot just from watching. You know, the theory. You can definitely learn a lot, but you know, get some turntables and have fun with it.
It was a joke. You didn't get my joke. No. Setup, maybe. Timing, maybe.
Mm.
All right. Last question. How do we find out more information if we have some listeners that want to stalk you?
Yeah,
they want to know your Twitter address. They want to know how to get in contact or follow your music. How do they do that?
Okay, stalking is welcome. You can find me online.
Wait, did you say stalking is welcome?
Well, you know, within reason.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a message
ladies
from
only.
TBS EFM 1.3. Stalking is okay.
Yes, ladies only. Yeah, my website is www.djangelo.co.uk. And I'm all over the social networks as well. YouTube.com/DJAngeloUK, Facebook.com/DJAngeloUK, the same for Twitter, and SoundCloud.com/DJAngelo.
All right. Anything to say to all of our Korean listeners out there that are big fans of yours?
Wow. I'm honored to be back in Korea. This is my second time. I really love this place, and I hope to be back again and again and again. And hope to see you guys at a party soon.
All right, very nice. We're going to go ahead and close out by listening to another one of your tracks, Witness the Toughness. Thank you, DJ Angelo, for being in the booth with us.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Peace.
Doses.